In this episode of the Texas Private School Podcast, the Woodlands Christian Academy has a shot at a district title. Fort Bend Christian shocks the world. St. Michael's advances up the district ladder. Oak Ridge spoils Green Hills playoff hopes. And Kincaid and Episcopal will meet once again in the 3A title game. All this and more in the Week 10 review of the Texas Private School Podcast. Hello and welcome back to yet another review episode of the Texas Private School Podcast. As always, I am one third of your hosting crew, Wes Tolleson, joining you from Dallas, Texas. Ryan Schroeder phones in from north of the Red River in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Walker Lott in the Brazos Valley from College Station, Texas. Walker. Yep. We're not even going to talk about A&M because they didn't play on Saturday. A lot of interesting private school developments, a lot of fun games, especially in the SPC. Your thoughts on what went on?
Yeah, A&M doesn't exist in my mind, which is still crazy enough because we're still tied at number one in the SEC, but it doesn't feel like that right now. Great week of Texas high school football. A lot of chaos late in the season, which was kind of unexpected, but this is what you want, right? You want chaos, a little bit more exciting news. A lot of interesting slates coming up this week. And, schools trying to make history last week just didn't go their way. And we'll talk about all of it.
Absolutely. Ryan Schroeder, as Walker said, a lot of moving parts in this previous week in Texas private school football. Thoughts, comments, concerns?
I always got thoughts. I always got comments. I always got concerns. I mean, this is TXPS football. I have all of those. I mean, what are we talking about? But overall, another good week. Obviously, yeah. I mean, I was tuning into my text messages, and I'm like, wait, who lost? Wait, who won? I was like, oh, my goodness gracious. We had a lot of switch-ups going on, a lot of different things going on. Overall, somehow we finished with the same record. Don't even know how that happens.
Yeah, it's a chaotic week, and we picked on several different games, and yet everyone went dead even. On to the pick records. We all went dead even. Everyone went 14-5, which, it's honestly not a super high percentage to this late in the season. I recall Walker Lott sending in a text that, quote, I have never been more confident in a 19-0 week as this week. And five teams had something to say about that, namely Fort Bend Christian, which I'll get into here shortly. Walker.
No, yeah, you're absolutely right. I am just glad I forget what game we picked. Oh, we'll talk about it in a second. My Eagles helped me out one last time to get another L in Ryan Schroeder's L column to help us out and keep me one game behind going into the last week of the regular season.
Yeah, we're closing in on it. In terms of the overall pick record, Ryan still leads at 146-44. Walker's a game back, 145-45. I am two games back at 143-47. I am three games back of the lead, which honestly, this late in the season, it's not a lot, but it's a bit of a gap. We'll see. I just can't finish last. Ryan Schroeder still leading the pick record. Yeah. Any quick thoughts regarding that positioning?
Gosh, leading the pick record. It feels so good every time you say it. Like just one of those things where you like hearing Wes Tolleson say you're leading the pick record. That's something that makes me feel good in my heart.
Two-time defending champion.
We'll get into it in a second. I mean, there is one. I've had one game the past 3 or 4 weeks that I have just called in the moment, been right about, and we'll get into it in a second, but I'm super happy about that game. Obviously the Southwest Christian game, I mean, we had 7 points total and I'm getting a loss because of that. I don't know, we'll get into it, we'll go to the scoreboard right now, but let's just say I'm not too happy about going 14-5. I thought I was gonna go 19-0, so sorry Walker Lott, but neither of us did.
Nope,
as we all ultimately do. Moving on to the TXPS Media Football scoreboard, powered by Ryan Schroeder.
No,
every,
no, no, no.
Oh, this is Walker. Oh. So that's why the font is different.
Yeah, when it transferred over to my file, it didn't have the font that he used, and so I tried to find the closest one possible very quickly. It was 11:30.
In italics.
It is called Cario. Cario.
think it's
Cairo.
Cairo.
There's
So,
some different logos too, but that's okay.
oh,
We'll
the new
figure it
Grace
out.
logo's on there. That's nice. I've
Now,
always put the
yeah,
new Grace
he's
logo
always
on.
had that.
Oh, I
Now
wish you did the
it
old one because I hate the new one.
yeah, it was weird, but yes, powered by
There
Walker
you go.
Lot.
There you
Powered
go.
by Walker Lot this week. As always, the top five games in the left-hand column will be saved for further analysis here shortly. So we will start with the bottom game in the left-hand column. Concordia Lutheran falls to Antonian Prep 38-28. Antonian all but secures a district title now. St.
They
Michael's most
do.
likely getting a, they do for sure. St. Michael's getting a two spot, providing they can beat Concordia this coming week. Fun times in the D1 South.
Yeah, shout out to Antonian. Central Catholic barely beats out Houston St. Pius X in a very interesting game. Is St. Pius finally found their rhythm and, they put 40 up on Antonian and, 30 on Central Catholic? Are they finally finding their rhythm later in the season? It's interesting. But a good win for Central that moves into, I think, let me look quickly on that fourth spot, solidifies their fourth spot and taps D1 District 2.
Ryan Schroeder.
Midland Christian beats Grapevine Faith in Midland 49-28. A game that we all knew was probably going to go Midland's direction. By that margin, was probably also assumed, but overall, Midland is staying the course to take that number two spot, correct? Number two spot, right? Because they beat Fort Worth
Correct.
in that district.
Walker Law, you can take the next game.
You cannot hide that Eagle pride.
Dude, I mean, you won by 7 points. There was only 7 points scored in the
Find a
game.
way to
TCS Lubbock
win.
is bad also.
You
I mean,
find a
bro,
way to
like
win.
clearly. Oh
Guess
my goodness.
what? We're in playoffs. That's all that matters. Do you hear that? We're in playoffs. Playoffs. Playoffs.
Have we had a 7-0
Playoffs.
final score the
Playoffs.
entire year?
Playoffs.
Dude, that's
Playoffs.
atrocious. That's
Playoffs.
atrocious football. That's
You know,
bad football.
you know what the result is of that
At
game?
the D2 level at that.
You know what that result is? Is we get Austin Regions round one. What more do you want? What more do you want? But great win. I think this is the first time they made playoffs, and they didn't make it last year, so the year before. So hey, you know what? It's a struggle. You had a lot of your better guys get hurt before the season even starts, and they still find a way to make it to the playoffs. And I'm proud of this team. Very proud of them. You can't hide that Eagle pride.
Absolutely. Hyde Park beats Brentwood 43-20. This gentleman is going to set up a what I think will be a three or four way tie. Yeah, this is going to be a four way tie for second place in District 2. It's going to be between Grace, Hyde Park, Brook Hill, and Grace, Hyde Park, Brook Hill, and there's another team.
Brentwood?
No, I don't think it's
I don't know
Brentwood.
if it's
Maybe
a,
it's Grace. No, I think it's three. I think it's Grace, Hyde Park, and Brentwood.
I don't think it's a tie. I think it's because Hyde Park's beaten both teams. They're number two. Like, it's not a tie.
Hyde Park's beaten who? Hyde Park lost to Brook Hill.
Are you sure?
I'm on their max preps. They lost 35-34.
Well, they beat y'all and
Yes.
Brentwood, so that moves them into the
Sorry,
solidify.
not Brentwood. It's a three-way tie between Grace, Brook Hill,
Hyde Park.
and Hyde Park. And Hyde Park, so Grace beat Brook Hill. Brook Hill beat Hyde Park. Hyde Park beat Grace. So now it's the SPC 3A thing where we've got to take all the points and mash them together.
But how many teams make playoffs from that
Four.
district? All
So
of them? All of them will make it
I thought
anyways?
Grace solidified that third spot, and it's Brentwood Brook Hill fighting for the fourth spot.
No, Brook Hill. So Grace is going to lose to Regents. Or sorry, Hyde Park is going to lose to Regents, which makes them 4-2. Grace is going to beat Bishop Dunn, which is going to make them 4-2. Brook Hill is going to play Brentwood, and if Brook Hill beats Brentwood, they're 4-2, and then it's a three-way tie. Brook Hill loses to Brentwood, it's a two. It's between Hyde Park and Grace, and Hyde Park moves on. We've already spent like 3 minutes on this game. That is how I understand it. If all three teams go 4-2, we'll do the math, so you don't have to at home. But that's a more interesting outcome than I thought. Moving on to another game in that district, Grace Community beats Grace Prep. I think it was 24-0. I will look and tell you it was 24-0. Good win, Grace Prep, not great, but Grace still chugging along, potentially making a massive smorgasbord for second place in that district. Walker.
I'll take this one so one of y'all can talk about the 4-point game.
Oh, yeah.
Brownsville St. Joseph defeats San Antonio Christian 43-13. Obviously, Brownsville St. Joseph, only three teams in that district, clearly taking that district. One loss on the season total for Brownsville St. Joseph at the moment, or undefeated? It's either or. I think they're either undefeated or one loss. I'm gonna
I think
look
one
real
loss to Antonian.
one loss to Antonio, which sounds about right. I'm gonna take one more look at it, but yeah, I think that's right. No, Regents. One loss to Regents.
Yes.
But
Oops.
a
I think they are
eight and one
D2.
eight and one season on the way. Which looks like they have St. Anthony's at the end of the year, and then there's an LSA scheduled for. That's not first round of playoffs. I don't know why that's scheduled on there already on Max Preps. But anyways, yeah, it looks like they only have one district game left to go absolutely it would be six games in a row wins for them. Great season for Brownsville St. Joseph, as always.
Absolutely. Walker, you can take Fort Bend Second Baptist.
Yeah, Fort Bend Christian beat Second Baptist 34-28. I want to shout out Andrea, who's on site for us. And yeah, we got this wrong. And Fort Bend chirped us immensely. We even had Max Granville, who came down from Penn State and added us on Twitter or on IG, which this is what you love to see, rooting
What
on
did he,
your
I never
team.
saw that story, by the way. What did he say?
He just said, "Stop messing with those Eagles," or "Stop playing with the Eagles," or something along those lines. But this is what you want to see. I think it's a good game. I think it's interesting. I think Fort Bend has finally found their stride, right? They found their quarterback and junior Cole Whitten, who has been phenomenal these past couple of weeks. Blake Hamilton is now a dual threat star for this team. On both sides at corner and at receiver, no one can really stop him. Cannon Campworth is doing good. Tyler Curry is back from injury from week one. I think he was kind of banged up, so I guess he's officially back, which is helpful. And yeah, you just got to give credit to this team, man, for flipping it as they have. Being undefeated for district and now fighting for a district title next week. It's kind of what you want to see. Very, very, very good for them. Shout out to those guys down there in Fort Bend, Missouri City area.
Yeah, I
Sugar
will.
Land, technically. Yes.
Sugarland, there we go. I will say I got a direct message from shout out Coach Mack of the DC for Fort Bend on Twitter or Twitter or TXPS account did. And he basically said, y'all should wear the Fort Bend shirts on the recap. And I was like, you know what? Because I was the one I did on an Instagram story like on Thursday. Somebody said Fort Bend versus Second Baptist. And I said, Fort Bend is sneakily 3-0 undefeated in district. And then I made a space and said, Second Baptist by 28 points. Incredibly wrong. So admittedly, I've got my Fort Bend shirt on. I don't particularly like this shade of green, but I'm going to wear it anyways. It's also a very comfy shirt. So also thank you to Fort Bend for giving us the shirts to begin with. Very, very generous. I felt like I was going to say something else. Oh, yeah. I also got a text from Brady Dever at 11 p.m. that night and said, not all three can take second period. Happens every time, Wes. And yeah, it's not the first time we've done that on this program. It probably will be the last. Moving on to a Division III game. Winless Kelly Catholic is winless no more with a W over Cypress Christian, 37 to 24 or 34 to 27, excuse me. Bad, bad,
Hey,
unreal, bad game.
should have taken them while you could. You wrote out both when you said you weren't who
I
you're gonna
did.
take, and you could have taken Kelly, and you ran away, and you took
I
Cypress
did. Kelly
instead.
was winless, and the other Kelly for the school that should have won didn't do anything.
I thought you were gonna pick Kelly, and I'm like, oh my gosh, he's gonna pick Kelly. He's gonna pick Kelly. I was like,
I
please, like
should have,
write in
dude.
Kelly. Well, no,
I have taken Cypress Christian like three times this year and gotten screwed every
they're
time that I've done
awful.
it.
They're terrible. I mean, I
Okay.
whoa, what? What? That's a bad loss. That's a
It's a
lot of
bad
bad.
loss.
That's a lot of bad losses,
I
actually, down
feel
the
bad. I
stretch.
don't want to. I mean, they obviously have some problems, and it's not the same D3, state title team. But they,
No, not the
I don't want to
same
come out
in
and
the
be like they're
slightest.
awful. But they've had a really, really rough season.
Really, really
You
bad
hope
stretch.
to, you hope that, you hope that the Warriors can get it turned around.
Lubbock Christian beats Panteco Christian 40-0. The kind of the Taps Division Three District One District Champs, I think by this point, come out with the win, big win, and prove why they're going to be one of the top teams in D3 this year. It's going to be a team that no one wants to face once tournament play comes around.
Colleyville Christian beats Lake Country 40-14. For those at home, Colleyville Christian is probably going to end up with that second spot in that district with Lubbock Christian in D3. With wins against TC Willow Park, Lake Country this past week, probably going to get the win against Pantego next week. I would say Colleyville Covenant is shaping out to have an all right season, looking in their playoff structure. A really hard non-district schedule with First Baptist on there, as well as maybe Fourth Christian on the outside looking in with a 63-3 loss to start the season. But Covenant making their way back, overall having a good season.
Dallas, this hurts my heart to say. Dallas Shelton destroys Tyler All Saints 52-7. And the worst part of this is I am pretty sure this was to go to the playoffs. No, it wasn't. That was the
They're
McKinney
both
Christian
in.
game, I think. Okay, they're both in. I remember I got tapped into the D3 Tyler schools for a second after that electric Gorman versus All Saints game. Good for Dallas Shelton. Shout out to quarterback Manny Mizer at All Saints. Actually, a decent prospect that probably should go play some D3 ball. I think he's quite good. But moving on, let's give Ryan a ESD St. Mark so he can gloat.
I mean, I'll say this: Shelton 7 points away from a 8-1 season. By the way, I just want to say that as well. Shelton's having
That
a
is crazy.
crazy good season with a 63-7 loss to Dallas Christian on there as well. But I mean, that's insane for Shelton. The game of the hour. I mean, I quite literally have said this now 4 or 5 weeks in a row. There's just been one game. I wrote them down last week. I don't even know if I have them all on here, because I use the same sheet of paper every single week to talk about my wins. Prestonwood over Parrish called, Greenville over TVS called, St. Mike's over Central called, Central over Concordia called. All of those absolutely awful takes in the moment. I got them all right. St. Mark's over ESD. I met some boys at Red River Rivalry who said St. Mark's is like that. I've kept it with them. They're a really good team. And I said ESD and St. Mark's, you got nothing to play for. St. Mark's going to want it more. And clearly, Weston Walker, which I won't put on No Context Later, or I won't send to someone who runs No Context Later, where they said pride means nothing, because pride does mean something, I guess, to the boys at St. Mark's. So I don't know. It's just something that me and Dallas St. Mark's, just me and something those guys have in common. We just really,
Gosh,
really
I've
like.
also got to reference the most gruesome injury I've ever seen in my life that got posted to No Context, which now might be the biggest post on No Context.
It's gonna be here.
It's
Boom.
gonna, yeah, you're gonna see it on the screen now. I mean, as you see, just no con non-contact injuries are always really brutal to see, and to see two guys get basically sniped at once, and to see, the leg fold that way, I mean, it's brutal. I can only hope for a full and speedy recovery for both of those gentlemen. You've got to have that planned out beforehand. I mean, if you're gonna pull the fake injury, you have got to be like, okay, you're the one going to, how are we trying to do this in real time? I mean, you got to study the Ole Miss film. Ole
Yeah,
Miss has this down to a science.
they
Elaine
do.
Kiffin has infected our great game with this debauchery.
Yeah.
They did it
Gosh, it's so
twice.
funny.
They
It's
did do
so
it
funny.
twice. The best thing
It's
is like,
so good.
the best thing is you put, no, sorry, not you. No Context posted it.
Yes.
And right underneath it, someone else like added another post being like, this happened twice. I think it
It's
happened more than
awesome.
twice. I
Oh,
think it was, this might have
that's
happened
incredible.
like a handful, maybe five times.
Oh my gosh.
I don't
But
know if like I don't know like if I feel disgust for this happening. I think there's a part of me that respects them for trying to pull this off. I think regardless, it's hilarious. I'm not even really laughing at them. I think
oh
it's hilarious they had the gumption to try this, because that would have never crossed my mind. And the
my
fact, it's like, dude, it's like a Looney Tunes skit, how just stupid it looks. Like, one guy falls down and then immediately gets back up.
Dude,
I don't know.
the response one is probably better than yours, where the quarterback pushes that, or whoever that is, just shoves him to the ground, just full on shoves him to the, because he's on a knee and he's like, no, you don't look hurt enough, shoves him to the ground so he fully is laying on his back. Oh
Oh
my
man.
God, dude,
But
it's a Looney Tunes skit.
we'll end it this. We'll go to our graves. ESD is the best 2-8 team in the country. That's all
Yeah.
I want to say.
Yeah, unquestionably, and probably the best drama program in the state as well. Moving on, Fort Worth Country Day beats St. Andrews 64-35. Good win for Country Day, although with the Green Hill victory. Actually, no, Country Day was out
So
regardless because if Green Hill won, they were in.
they won 7 games this year. They went 7-2. The two get losses were to Houston Christian and Trinity Valley. Like the 2 games they couldn't lose.
That's
So
tough.
it is what it is.
Yeah, Ben Nagishu kind of shut the lights off on their season.
Yeah. Going to the next one. Argyle Liberty beats Bishop Lynch 56-20. Guess who's back again? Chase Garnett. Go tell a friend. That's really all
By the way,
the
Ryan and I were told after the Liberty, was that Parish?
Liberty
After the Liberty
Parish. Liberty
Parish game,
Parish.
that he was done for the season. I don't
Yeah.
know if he said he was done for the season or that we just heard compound fracture, but I mean, I told several people he was done for the season, and now I feel like an idiot.
No.
Yeah.
I think he has 50 career touchdowns now because of that game. So shout out to number five.
He also hurdled someone.
Yeah, I said that to y'all in the thing. It was insane. A Central Texas Christian beats Hallettville Sacred Heart 26-20. A game that, was a lot closer, but really decided who would take that second slot in that district. And it came down to a 6-point game. That game being played at Central Texas Christian. Obviously, the question has always been, it's First Baptist, Brazos at the second spot, and then we thought Central Texas was in that third spot, but clearly third spot and fourth spot were close with the Sacred Heart from Hallettsville spot. Obviously, the three teams in the Southern District are a lot more talent. Like that district in total is more talented than the Northern District, if you look at the full scheme of the entire districts. But definitely interesting to see how close that game was. I probably would have told you it would have been that close, but Central Texas Christian still gets it done.
Absolutely. Staying in Division Four, Brazos Christian destroys Conroe Covenant 55-7. Brazos Christian is on the brink of a undefeated regular season at 10-0. They just have to get past Rose Hill to do that. I think their average margin of victory in district games is like 35 points, which is
That's
just
insane.
absolutely crazy with a team like Central Texas Christian on that schedule. I mean, we know that First Baptists are going to be the favorites to win this, but Brazos Christian will have something to say about that, and I would love nothing more than to see a title game composed of those two teams, Walker.
Yeah. Mercy Culture beats Bishop Riker 49-6, which I think is their first district win and officially qualifies them for playoffs, which is monumental news for that program. We'll talk about in a second what that means, what their next game means for playoff implications, but they're officially in, baby. The Mercy Culture Knights are officially into playoffs.
Pretty cool. Final game of the hour. Frisco Legacy defeats Nolan Catholic 56-33. And unless Legacy can upset Liberty, which I'm not gonna hold myself too tight on that. I will have been 4 point or call it 5 points shy of my prediction being exactly true with the Bishop Lynch loss. Overall, I want to say just on that, I feel pretty happy about how Legacy season went, especially with the Ian Pulte injury and some of the other injuries that have happened throughout the season. Guys like Luke Lawrence and stuff, the special teams have all really stepped up and overall produced a really great season with moving up to a higher division and a division maybe they weren't ready for off rip, but clearly people thought they weren't ready for, but clearly they showed that they were active in it. Obviously, the one loss that I'm talking about being that Bishop Lynch loss 28-24. If they would have won that, my prediction of undefeated in undistrict and 500 in district would have been correct, but it looks like they're going to finish 2-4 in district. But overall, I'm pretty happy.
I would have to agree with that statement. So that will conclude the TXPS Media Football Score powered by Walker Lott this fine week. Walker, before we get into our five games to recap of the week, we've got some games with district title implications on the line. How about you explain to us what those games are and basically where we stand?
Yeah, there's like five, six-ish games that kind of really matter this week for playoff implications. For D1, there's only one TC Addison versus Nolan Catholic this upcoming week. We'll see who is the last team to make it into the next round and make it into playoffs. There's going to be a first time one of these teams is not going to be in the playoffs. I really don't know who wins that game. Truly, it's gonna be an interesting one. Because of St. Thomas's loss, they moved to 2-3. St. Mike's gets the bye to 2-2.
Whoa.
Division two. I was about to say there only is two games that matter, but now you confused me a little bit, which I thought because it's 4-2, I thought it was just going to be that Brentwood Brookhill game, but now I'm confuzzled because you are right now, Wes, and it gets a little bit more interesting because Brookhill beat Hyde Park. The Brentwood Brookhill game matters in the span that if Brentwood wins, I think they get this fourth seed because Hyde Park beat Brentwood, and I think Grace beat Brentwood as well.
Yes, they did.
So I think if Brookhill wins that game, that's where it gets a little bit more interesting, and it comes down to, point differential, which I would think because of the big win over Grace, I think Hyde Park still keeps that number two spot in that district. Grace and Brentwood, I think Grace beat him by a touchdown or two, right, Wes?
Grace beat Brentwood by a touchdown.
Okay, and Grace beat Brookhill by how many?
Grace beat Brookhill by a touchdown.
So Brookhill and Grace would be fighting for the third and fourth spot in that district, I believe.
And
If
since Grace beat Brookhill, then Grace would be.
higher.
Here, can we? I want to give context to the viewers who may not understand the structure of how it works, real quick. Because if it's the same as SBC, so
Yeah.
for those who don't know, in a three-way tie for any slot in a district slate, if all obviously all three teams would have played each other, if they've all beaten each other in a triangle situation, then it goes down to a call it a plus
Point
minus.
differential between those
Yeah.
three teams.
Point differential between those three teams, and that slots out the entire list. If it's
Right.
just between two teams, it's not point to, it's just a head-to-head matchup between those two teams, right?
Right.
So that's where it becomes a little bit of a difference. If it's the same, I'm gonna assume it's the exact same as this.
We're gonna assume, because I don't know what other way you would do it, but
Yeah, there's
yeah,
no other
basically
way.
what we're looking at is if Brookhill beats.
If Brentwood beats Brookhill, Brentwood gets the fourth spot, I think, just regardless. If Brookhill beats Brentwood, I think it's then Hyde Park has the point differential. They would be the two seed, I think, no matter what. Grace
Yeah.
Community would be fighting for the third seed, but I think they would solidify it. So I still think Brookhill would get the fourth seed, I think, because it was only 1 point win over Hyde Park. So I think point differential wise, I think they would get the third. I don't know.
What I was, yeah, I don't know.
I'm gonna say this. I think, and they could tell me wrong, we'll figure it out next week. I think Brentwood Brookhill, that game next week is for the fourth spot in that district. I'm just gonna go by that. I think that's basically what it is. Okay.
I think if we get in that three-way tie situation, I think Grace is probably going to be fourth because they had a 20-point loss to Brentwood. I think that's going to kill them in point differential. We don't have to spend too long on this.
Yeah.
If it comes to it, what I promise is we will do the math. If it doesn't, I'm too lazy to do hypotheticals.
Well,
So keep that in mind.
either way, Wes, it sucks for you because you're either facing Midland or All Saints in the first round. So loss either way. Going to the next
I
game.
think we shake it up and lose to All Saints first round this time.
Yeah. Then it gets in the industry is the Woodlands Christian, Fort Bend, Second Baptist. We'll talk about that in a little bit after the TWCA recap. So I won't talk about it much here, but that just gets insanely interesting with this next game, Fort Bend TWCA. Then Division Three, Dallas Covenant versus Shelton. That game matters for who gets the second and third spots in District Two. Not much difference on opponents, but it's a big game. For the last place in District, Gorman versus McKinney for District Two, spot five is a big game to who gets in the playoffs and who does not. Division Four, the last game that matters in Division Four, Temple Christian versus Mercy Culture. If Mercy Culture can pull out the win, they get the fourth spot and play Conroe Covenant. If they don't, they will play Shiner St. Paul round one. That game matters a lot for the last seed change in TAPS Division Four. And that is all we need to talk about there.
There we go. So we got some very important games on the horizon, as I hear happens once we get close to playoffs. And by close, I mean like the week away. So always fun things coming down the stretch. I know Walker just spoke for an extended period of time, but you're going to get another opportunity to with the recap of Lutheran South at the Woodlands Christian.
Yeah, it was a fun one. It started back and forth, which I did not expect, touchdown to touchdown to touchdown. The game started with a 25 quarterback John LeBlanc to 27 wide receiver Josh Pipilion, scoring for the first points of the game for the Pioneers. That connection actually ended up scoring three times that night, with Pipilion having four catches, 127 yards, and three touchdowns. At the end of the half, it was 23-20 TWCA. And then kind of looking to the second half, this is kind of where the Woodlands Christian kind of extended their lead. They had a couple fourth down stops, interceptions go their way on the defense, so shout out to them. But it was truly on the shoulders, and the whole game was truly on the shoulders of 26 quarterback Santiago Fernandez, who could not be stopped in this one with six total touchdowns. Fernandez ended up being 8 of 9 for 127 and two touchdowns. But the most impactful piece was his legs, where he could not be stopped there, having 24 carries, 230 yards, and four touchdowns. It was quarterback keeper right, quarterback keeper left. If he was in the pocket and like, and the play broke down, he was taking it for 10 yards with ease. Like, he was truly unbeatable that night. Couple big guys for TWCA. Bo Ellis, the 25 athlete who we've raved about, Wes has especially, had four catches, 97 yards, and a touchdown. And then on the ground, had 16 carries for 104 yards. Prince Holiday, the 26th defensive lineman, was impressive as well, with a couple TFLs, I think, and most importantly, a sack. A guy who I wanted to shout out, 25 athlete Hudson Bardwell, made big time plays at linebacker and even ran the ball a little bit. He was really impressive, impactful player. Had a couple things where he was kind of the sole reason they had a fourth down stop, was single handedly him. And we need to start the campaign for William Cook being one of the top O line, maybe the best offensive lineman in all of TXPS this year, man. He is a dude, 6'4", 300. He's a grown man. He's athletic at the same time, moves really well. His technique is good too. Talking around people around that program, he is probably their best player on that team. And that speaks really regard because they have some dudes at Woodlands Christian. So I wanted to shout those guys out. They have some young pieces that I'm excited about for the future. But overall, those are kind of the guys I wanted to shout out for Woodlands Christian. On the other side, Brandon Robinson was back this game and had a good game. Seven catches, 112 yards, and a touchdown. Junior Aja Bradford had 14 carries, 60 yards, and then 12 tackles on defense. Overall, with this win, TWCA in Fort Bend is now being played for a district championship. And who kind of saw that coming to start the year? Not us. And I found this from sources on the Woodlands Christian side. So I think this is true. This is how it will play out. Okay. So let's talk through this, guys, so you can talk through this. Fort Bend Christian wins versus TWCA, or TWCA wins by 5 or less. It's going to be Fort Bend, Second Baptist, and then Woodlands Christian in that district. If Woodlands Christian wins by 6, Second Baptist wins that district, and then Fort Bend second, and then TWCA is third. If Woodlands Christian wins by 7 or 8, second wins first, TWCA second, and then Fort Bend is third. And finally, if
God.
Woodland Christians win by 9 or more, Woodland Christian wins that district with second and then first on Fort Bend Christian and third. It gets funky, very, very funky. That's really, really confusing. But basically, it's like
So in
this.
terms of this game, if Fort Bend Christian wins
Wins.
or
They
the
win district.
Woodlands, yeah, and if the Woodlands wins by 5 or less, Fort Bend Christian also wins district. If TWCA wins by more than 9, they win. Anything between 5 and 9, second wins. And then I
Yes.
don't really care between 2 and 3.
Yes. So it gets crazy. It gets absolutely crazy. But
That's a lot.
you got to give credit to both these teams. I'll talk about four TWCA. We said it in the preview of the season that they're going to be a really good squad, and they are, man. They have pieces all over that squad that are they're bigger on the offensive lines. Tyler Seeger, I think, the tight end turned defensive lineman turned now tackle. He's on one side with William Cook on the other. They have pieces all over the place. Number 90, number 30 was a freshman, was impressive. They got dudes, man. And I know this game was a pretty close one, but I still do think TWCA is a solid team that can go far in playoffs, especially with how Santiago Fernandez is playing right now. He was unreal last night. So good win for them. This next game I will be at versus TWCA for for Ben. I have to be at that game. That's gonna be awesome. So,
Yeah.
big game there in Fort Ben.
Yeah, all I'll say is the text I got from Walker when this one was in the second half just kind of summed it up, was that Santiago Fernandez is turning into the guy that we thought he would be when he was coming into his sophomore season. He's an incredible talent. He has God-given ability at what, like 6'5", like he's a
Yeah.
weapon. Bo Ellis is a monster. We will start the William Cook campaign. I mean, legitimate shot for them to go out and win district, but Fort Bend Christian will have something to say about it. Ryan, anything?
No, that was good. I truly was just good, what we were talking about earlier, but I don't think I could have ever been more wrong in my entire life about the way some things have gone in that district. So I'll just stay silent and we'll move on, we'll say.
Yeah, it's certainly a bit of a booger bear how it's turning out, but that's kind of what makes this part of the game fun. Moving on to a Fort Worth matchup, All Saints at Fort Worth Christian. All Saints extends their undefeated streak to 9 following a 37-14 victory over Fort Worth Christian. Gavin Parkhurst had 2 passing touchdowns. Cole Powell Freeman had a rushing touchdown, and Parkhurst had 2 more rushing to bring his total to 4. Keelan Lemon had a receiving touchdown, as did Bryce Anderson off of a flea flicker. Laney Gigliotta did have a good game with a rushing and passing touchdown to Nathaniel Davis. This game was 23-14 at half. I mean, it was a close game at the half. Any team could have come out and won it. However, Fort Worth Christian would not score past that point, and All the Saints pulled away, shutting the Cardinals out. I got to shout out Matthew Allen Bryce for the statistics. Gavin Parkhurst is an absolute player, dude. That's my main takeaway from this. I remember back in 2022 when Vaughn McKeever got at us for Walker saying that young sophomore Parkhurst outdueled him. They really hung on to the words outdueled en route to a Dragon State Championship. But little did we know sophomore Parkhurst would become arguably the best quarterback in TXPS. I think he's on that Mount Rushmore right now. I think,
Huh.
I mean, you could say it's Kearney, Sawyer Anderson, Gavin Parkhurst, Quinn Murphy. Gibby deserves a shot at that list. In terms of like collegiate prospects, I mean, I think you go Kearney, Anderson, Parkhurst, Murphy.
From this year? This is all this
From
year.
this year. I'm not saying all time. This is this year.
I don't think I can disagree with you, man. I really don't think I can.
You said Sawyer.
Luke Kearney,
Sawyer.
Sawyer Anderson, Gavin Parkhurst, Quinn Murphy. And this is more from a collegiate standpoint. If we're doing like players, like Gibby is on that list,
I
but
mean, yeah, Gibby is an all-time TXPS great at this point, I feel like. Just
undoubtedly. But
especially
yeah.
if they win, but yeah.
I think, yeah, I think I would go with that. I
We're gonna be
sorry,
disrespecting somebody that we forget about, but that's
I
okay.
know we will, but this was zero research off the dome. So
Yeah,
if you
no.
deserve,
I think you're
yeah,
right. Yeah, I agree.
probably. I would trust that judgment, but any comments regarding, we expected this to happen. I think the halftime score is a little closer than we expected, but all that matters is the final result, and that seems to be what we expected, Walker.
Yeah, not much to say. I agree. I said this was going to be kind of a blowout type of victory, and it was. Not much more to say. Good win for All Saints. I think Fort Worth Christian is solid. I think they're missing, Kate Kropholder badly on that offense. Only scoring 14 is rough, but yeah, they'll be solid in playoffs. They'll make round two probably, but I don't see them going farther than that.
Ryan.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I think it's now becoming very clear that All Saints is probably the best team in D2 if they weren't already, and they're kind of ahead of Regents and Second Baptist because Regents and Second Baptist have seemed beatable, and All Saints hasn't seemed beatable at all, in my opinion. So if you're kind of looking forward, I think that's probably where I'd put my fake money on sports gambling in Texas private school football.
Fake money. We're not going to tell them about the gambling ring that we've established for
Hey,
Texas.
shush.
Hey, if you know the secret password, we'll let you in. But moving on down to Austin for a game. St. Thomas at Austin St. Michael's. St. Migos wins this one 24-14. Nico Anderson had 250 yards through the air. That puts him at 2,000 on the season. An impressive, quietly impressive performance. Junior Andres Patino had 100 receiving yards, one touchdown, and an interception. Senior linebacker Will Garcia had a pick six. Utah Anderson had 11 tackles. And this puts St. Michael's at second in the South, providing that they can get past Concordia in their final regular season contest. And if this all plays out like it should, this should show us a St. Michael's versus St. Thomas rematch in the quarterfinals, providing that St. Michael's gets past Concordia, like I said, and St. Thomas beats TCA or Nolan in the first round. So, Walker, a close game, 10-point win for St. Michael's. You'd like to see St. Thomas maybe put up more than 14 points, but that's neither here or there. More importantly, I am projecting that we see this rematch again in the quarterfinals. And number one, thoughts on that. Number two, we're looking at a very real possibility where St. Michael's is playing into the semifinals in the Taps D1 bracket.
No, I think you're probably right in that, which is absolutely crazy to say. The turnaround they've done from last year to this year is absolutely insane. So you want to shout out to them. The guys that were young have stepped up to the plate, and that's kind of what you want. So shout out to Coach Scales and that whole coaching staff for getting these kids to buy in this quick of a turnaround. Overall thoughts, I think the St. Thomas offense didn't come to play again. It's kind of been the story all season where their defense has finally settled in. 10 of their points in this game, Wes, came from turnovers in the first half by the offense, right? By interceptions. One was a pick six, one was an interception that, turned into the score. So it's the offense right now that kind of needs to step up. It's a very interesting thing where it you don't know how the you don't know what offense you're going to get. Derek Stevenson finally got the ball a little bit, I saw, which is great when you have a guy who runs a 4-2-9 and makes an insane play. Like, that's what you want. Give it to your weapons. But I think they rotated quarterbacks again from Roy Thomas to the sophomore Pierce. Can't have that. You kind of need the guy as an A&M Aggie who has rotated quarterbacks. It's hard to do.
Same, same,
Yeah.
same. Well,
Yes.
we play three quarterbacks in
Y'all
a while.
don't play football. You don't get to contribute in this discussion.
Okay. All right. What happened in Columbia? Oh, okay.
There wasn't a game.
Okay.
Nobody
There.
played.
Oh, no one played? Oh,
No one played.
I mean, no one played in Stillwater this weekend. It's like a 6-hour game, so it's like, who cares?
I just think it's going to be very interesting. If their offense plays and you have a good offensive game by St. Thomas, you get a good St. Thomas team. If you don't, you see what it happens today. That's pretty much my thoughts. I think St. Michael's is a good team, though. I love Utah Anderson. I love this team.
Yeah, got to shout out Jake Garcia for the stats here. I will say,
St.
I was not
Miko's.
wrong. I was not wrong on my St. Michael's prediction. I was just 2 years early, whenever I said they'd beat. Well, I guess they're not even the same division anymore, but I stand by that
No.
take. Ryan Schroeder, St. Michael's, a very strong possibility to be playing late into November. Your thoughts?
If you don't look at the eagle on my shirt, this actually is a St. Michael's jersey. I'm just kidding.
It's close.
No,
It is.
the color is close enough.
By the way, it's not an eagle, it's a falcon.
No, it's Boston
The
College
Boston
Eagles.
College is
Oh,
Eagles. I thought it was an
nope,
Atlanta
you're not.
Falcons
Nope,
jersey.
nope, nope. You lose. By the way, oh,
Nope,
by the
not
way,
good.
I'm wearing a jersey. If anyone, I should have had people guess. That would have been even more fun. But I guess
Oh,
it's
that
just
is a
another one.
nasty
Sorry,
shirt.
I didn't
I'll
even think
bleep
about
it.
that.
I'll bleep it. Don't
Oh,
worry.
okay. All right. You guess whose jersey this is? And I have nothing for you. But other than that, though, I think the one thing I'll say is that this district, I kind of forgot how massive this district is. They
Yeah.
play three non-district games, then boom comes the district slate. Just team after team after team of like ops, obviously just like heavy hitters. With the undefeated non-district slate, then seeing Antonian in the first game for St. Michael's, and then not losing from there, like that's incredible. I mean, obviously, came 5 points within Central Catholic, a good Central Catholic team at that. I think if that game's at Central Catholic versus maybe in Austin, maybe it's different and stuff
Yeah.
because, like it really just depends on the draw. I think there's a million reasons, how St. Migos has done so well this year. Obviously contingent on Concordia, but a one loss district slate when that district is that large, and you have to play that many games and it's not a great district, but it's the D1 South, you know, it's tough.
An interesting tidbit is they only beat Faith 20-13 in the first game of the season. So if you would
That's
have told
crazy.
me there's
That's
if you would have
crazy.
told me there's a strong possibility that they'll be playing in the TAPS Division I semifinals, I would
Yeah.
have called you an idiot.
Yeah.
However, I am the idiot, as it turns out, is more common than I would like to admit.
I just want to say quickly, I forgot to mention this. Shout out to my Austin St. Michael's hat from 21, 2021. I went to a game where Joe Moreland and Jack Esparza and Carson Kruver were the guys on that team. And they beat Lutheran South in the first round of the playoffs. And I got that right the day after I got my Aggie ring. That's a little story for y'all. But I shot it because they won. I wore the hat.
Jack Esparza denied me from the only state championship I ever had a shot at my senior year of high school in track in the 4x4. So I hold that against him because he was a freshman and won that for them. And we lost. Anyway, moving on to moving on
Mob
to
ties.
that I still hold a grudge. Just kidding. Love you, Jack Esparza. Into the game that I was at this week, which was Oak Ridge at Green Hill. I almost said Oak Hill at Green Ridge, which actually would be two good names for schools. Into the game. Shout out Coach KJ Williams and the staff of the hospitality. I rolled up and like immediately a man named Isaiah was at my truck with a goodie bag of a hat and two shirts that are already in my dresser. I wore the hat this morning. Some more. It was my first trip out to Green Hill, and I learned some things I didn't previously know. Apparently, there are a flock of peacocks that roam the campus. Okay, I was gonna ask because I figured one of you would have heard this before, so they
Of
weren't just
course.
pulling my leg saying this.
Nope. There's so many things about that campus. There's little robot cars that drive around too and stuff that I've seen before. And that was back in the there's so much stuff. It's one of the coolest campuses, I feel like, in
Yeah, it's
TAPS.
like
Good for them.
77
Private
acres. I
school.
think the wait list to get
Oh,
in there is like
wow.
1,500 kids. Like, I just like kept hearing things, and I was like, none of this sounds real. But the more I kind of look around, the more I have to believe it. It looks like the way it's laid. I don't know how to explain this, but it's not the architecture because it's not Gothic. But the way the campus feels like Duke. It's not with the trees and everything like that. It feels like that area of North Carolina. I don't know how to explain it. That's just to say it's a really, really cool campus.
I don't know how they have so many trees. Where are we
I
getting those
know.
trees in Dallas? I mean,
I
what
know.
are we doing? You go to
I
Parrish didn't have those trees across the street, you know?
that's what I was gonna say. Dude, I didn't even realize exactly where I was, so I hadn't been to that part of
Yeah.
Addison a whole lot, but I've been to Farmers Branch a good amount. And I pulled out and I look and I'm like, Sigma Road. I was like, number one, brain rot. Number two, that's the road to Parrish.
Yeah,
I'm only
it's
like 2 minutes from here. I was like, oh,
right there.
I know where I am now. I'm around on 635. Anyways, completely lost the plot of where I am in the script, but apparently they weren't pulling my leg with the peacocks. Very, very, very cool stuff at Green Hill. In terms of the game, gonna be talking a little more about Oak Ridge in this spot because Oak Ridge ended up winning this one. Senior defensive end Chasen Blevins, maybe it's Chasen, I didn't get it that exactly. He is a man. He blew up a run at the start of the game and had what can only be described as a bone-crushing sack to seal it. I don't think he has any offers yet. And it might be hard at this point as a senior. I think he should. That dude is a ball player, and I regret not finding him earlier. However, the overall story of this game is that Cole Worthington is a monster. He accounted for all Oak Ridge touchdowns on the evening, which were three, pushing his total on the season to 23, I think. Dylan Lampier and sophomore defensive back Will Lamond, who is one to watch, I think he had six picks as a freshman, came up with interceptions this night. Will Black played well in his final contest, but ultimately the Owls proved too much for Green Hill. This sets up a rematch of Houston Christian versus TVS in ATB Stadium this Saturday. I will be skipping my planned quality time with my family at a basketball game to cover this because I am a TXPS sicko. In terms of this game, as I mentioned, Cole Worthington was a monster. Here's some stats to back that up. 300 total yards, 29 carries, three touchdowns. Cole Worthington is one of the best players in the SBC. There could be a case made that he's the best. We talk a lot about Ben Ngishu, as a great running back. Cole Worthington, like, from an electricity standpoint, I think he's the most electric player in the SBC and SBC 3A. He is really, really good, dude. And I think he's a level of good that you can't really understand until you watch him live. And I know you can say, like, yeah, but it's against Green Hill and Green Hill stinks. Well, Green Hill doesn't stink. They were playing to make a state title game. All that being said, Cole Worthington was the main takeaway I had from this game. That and it's funny that TVS had to be rooting for Green Hill, probably, or for Oak Ridge, probably for the first time ever in this spot, so they could secure a title spot. They did. I will be back at HB Stadium this Saturday to watch that. Walker Lott, sad to say that the fairy tale ending didn't happen like it does, but that is life. Thoughts on Oak Ridge besting Green Hill? I cannot say those two teams together.
Yeah, you just gotta shout out Oak Ridge in that one. That's a big win. And just like kind of Green Hill is moving forward, right? That's a good Oak Ridge, good Oak Ridge players that are moving forward as well. So you gotta shout out those guys for having a pretty good season. I forget their record, Ryan, if you could look that up for me, but
Yeah,
I mean,
it's right in front of me. The Oak Ridge team, you mean?
yeah.
They
I'm
went
guessing.
7-3 in total, losses
Yeah.
to TVS, Houston Christian, and Fort Country Day.
Yeah, so that's not a bad day at the office at all. Shout out to them. They're on the come up. I think last year was really rough for them, so seeing Oak Ridge improve
Yep.
is really good. On the other side
Also,
too.
I would like to say I have it on good authority that Oak Ridge is going to go out and get dudes and make things happen this offseason. So I
There you
think we
go.
could see, Oak Ridge and Green Hill probably rising to the top here soon.
Because especially in the SBC, you kind of have to just a tad
Yeah.
bit. You don't need to do the Parrish and the Liberties of the world and bring out all these guys, but you got to bring in a star or
Well, because you
star
got
or
to
two.
bring in like 32 ACT kids to
Right.
like even make it there.
Right. Like SBC is tough to get in. So, but,
I mean, they're in Arlington. Like, there's like a lot of talent in the Arlington area. I don't know. That's another thing to
absolutely.
think about too.
No,
It's a,
absolutely.
it's an untapped area, I feel like.
You're not wrong there. If you could get kids from, if I remember where Oak Ridge is, like if you could get the kids from like Lamar,
Or
Martin,
Bowie, or what?
Bowie, Arlington High, any of those teams in Arlington's area, if you even go down to Mansfield a little bit, like Great Grand Prairie, you have places around there that you could get guys, but that's not the point. Go transfer, have fun. The point of more of this is I want to take at least a second and talk about Green Hill. What Coach KJ did this year is it needs to be really, really talked about. He's definitely the favorite for SBC Coach of the Year. I think he has to be, even though he didn't make it to state. What he's done this year and turn around this program to make him competitive. Yes, he brought in a couple dudes, but William Black has been through this program. Caden Casilo has been there since KJ has been there. Like, there's dudes that have been and grown up in this program, and you just had to inspire him, right? And that you just have, they've done such a great job. Yes, they didn't make state in year two, and that's probably they're still feeling it tomorrow on or today, Monday morning. Like, they're going to be feeling it, but you just got to give a big shout out to those guys. What they've done this year should not be unnoticed, and it's a big, big deal. So, shout out to those guys.
I don't really have any commentary. I was just gonna say, Wes, there is an Oak Hill. It's a basketball powerhouse up.
I'm
There is.
familiar. There is.
That's where
Well,
Quinn Cook came from. I
yeah.
think Jabari Parker. No,
I mean,
Jabari Parker didn't go there.
Carmelo
Well,
Anthony.
we just need to find a Green Ridge, but there's probably some
We
one
do need
out
Green
there.
Ridge, yeah.
But
I'll look it up.
yeah, Oak Hill is a real school. That's all I was gonna say. That's my only commentary about this game.
Shout out
Yeah,
Carmelo Anthony.
as it should be. Shout out Carmelo Anthony. A lot of championship rings on that hand.
There
Moving
is.
on to,
By the way, there is a Green Ridge.
I could
And
guarantee it. It's pretty basic name. It's gonna be
Missouri.
in the Pacific Northwest. Never mind, Missouri is not the Pacific Northwest, but close enough. Moving on to the final game before we just start making up schools, which that might be an off-season episode. We'll see who can
Yep.
make up the best fake school. Mine's Trinity Christian Cedar Hill. Kincaid wins this game 21-19. After a scoreless first quarter, Cole Allen opened up the game at 7-0 with a rushing touchdown. However, David Capobianco and Peter, I have never said this name out loud before, Liuzzi, I have said it out loud before and probably butchered it again, responded with a touchdown at a 2-point conversion to make it 8-7. Wayne Shanks powered it in and out of the Wildcat to give the Falcons a 15-7 lead heading into the half, except 16 seconds is six too many as Cole Allen returned the kickoff to the Falcon 40, caught a pass from Shea Quinn to get it to the 15, and then caught a jump ball in triple coverage to make it 15 to 13 as the half expired. If you haven't seen this clip yet, it's on Bradley's Twitter. We'll link it in the show notes, put it on the screen or something. This hasn't been talked about enough. He went up and he caught this in triple coverage. There is a dude in front of him, on the side of him, and either on the other side or behind him, and he goes up and makes the play. The fact that we are robbed of this in the SBC playoff structure is inexcusable. Anyways, Cole Allen, I literally his moniker for me is that every game of his you cover, he makes the best play you've ever seen in your life, and it's this one. I cannot believe we're robbed of this in a playoff structure, but we've had 4 years of Cole Allen. We've gotten enough highlight plays. Moving on into the rest of the analysis. After a scoreless third quarter, Cole Allen yet again put the Mavs on his back and put St. John's back up 19 to 15 with 6 minutes and 20 seconds remaining. St. John's finally forced a fourth down on Kincaid, which could have won them the game. But Jordan Manuel runs maybe the prettiest post
That
corner
was
I have ever
beautiful.
seen in my life. Dude, I hadn't even seen the tweet until I did my research this morning. And he comes down with what would ultimately be the game-winning touchdown for Kincaid. Shout out to Bradley Hanna for the coverage. I feel bad for tearing him away from the biggest Fort Ben Christian win this season, but this is also a heck of an atmosphere to go and cover. By the way, the Jordan Manuel touchdown, here's what I'll say, because I like to play, Monday morning quarterback. I know you need I didn't look and see what the line to gain was.
Probably like fourth and five.
Here, I'm looking at it.
Yeah, go look and
Because
get me
what you know
that.
who made that third down stop? Cole
Who?
Allen. Cole
Of
Allen
course he
made
did.
a he made he so from what Bradley said, he played safety the entire second half. And
Looks
he
like oh, sorry.
Capobianco tried to step up in the pocket to run the ball in the middle, and Cole Allen met him in there and ran him over and got it like
Of course
fourth
he
and
did.
five. Like he did everything. And I'll go into my point while you're looking into it.
No, you're good.
I said in the preview, right, that I wanted everything you could from Cole Allen, and he did it.
We
He did
got, I
it.
mean,
Everything you could to bring your team there, he did. He
no
stopped
one
them on
else is
third
on
down.
this team except Cole Allen. Cole
He's
Allen and Shea
crazy.
Quinn. It's Shea Quinn and Cole Allen.
Like, it is truly unbelievable what
It's
he did this
insane.
day. He did everything, and you cannot ask more from a player than Cole Allen. You know he's in the national lead for rushing yards in a season this year. I saw
That's
tweeted from that.
crazy.
He's like over 2,000. He is legitimately one of the best players in the country right now, and he still couldn't make state. Like I'm doing an article about it. I've been wanting to do this. I'm going to talk about this 25 class because this is the guys that we've, grown up watching for the past 4 years. What Cole Allen has done at St. John's is nothing short of truly inspirational. He's one of the most electrifying. He might be the most electrifying player we've ever seen coming through the ranks. Every game he makes a highlight play. He puts the team on his back and makes plays. He's done that since he was a sophomore. He is unreal as a player to really see what, like, Harvard is getting an absolute steal. And I know probably in his mind, because we, and this is also the media making this a like a this like message coming out, like, can Cole Allen do it? Can Cole Allen do it? And that probably gets into his head a little bit. We started that probably, right? It's probably to him, and I hope he understands, hears this and says, like, you did everything you could, man. Like, you tried. And sometimes history's just not on your side. But you cannot go out of this game thinking, dang, I didn't do enough, because you absolutely did. Every touchdown was him. He made the play on third down. It was a one-on-one with the corner that Jordan Manuel got a what a an amazing route to win the game. Like, what more do you want from a kid to do that?
Ryan, what was the line to gain?
It's fourth and four from the 20.
Okay, so my thought process is, yeah, you probably do try and sell out and stop the run in that situation. I don't know. 4 yards is a lot even with Wayne Shanks. My biggest deal was there was man coverage on Jordan Manuel on the outside. I don't like that. Unless it's Cole Allen, I don't like that. And honestly, the inside, if he was running a post, the inside leverage was good. The problem is he ran a post corner and just I mean, I don't know. Regardless, a great play call by Kincaid and the staff. Like I said, if this game was played 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, I'm taking St. John's in a heartbeat. But I've gotten older and I've gotten wiser as this program's gone on, and I don't bet against Kincaid in these spots, and I'll ruin my pick for the SBC championship. I'm going to pick Kincaid to win that, and I'm not going to think really hard about it. It'll be interesting. Like I said, shout out to Bradley for the coverage. We
Absolutely.
apologize for ripping you away from a great Fort Bend Christian win, but that is how it goes. Ryan Schroeder, any closing thoughts on this game before we get out of here?
Yeah, the only thing I was going to say is, Kincaid has really shown that they're really a talented team this year. I think I said it to y'all. I've said it a million times. I said Cole and Allen would have to play every position on the field for them to have a chance in this game. And he about damn near did that. And I agree with you 100%, Wes, I'm looking at this play five times, six times now. I mean, I don't even understand at all. There's no one even to help at all on this play with Jordan Manuel. I mean, he is on an island and shakes this guy within 6 yards. So
I know, dude,
just
it's
it's just,
amazing.
I mean, yeah, it's just one of those plays where, I hate to say this, but literally, like, now that the season's over for St. John's, like, he was the only player. He was the only player. Like,
Shea Quinn was good as well.
hey, I'll give Shea Quinn his flowers.
bro,
That Hail Mary at the end of the game, that was a pretty dang good
he's a good
throw.
throw.
It was a great throw.
I can, their two losses or their three losses on the year have come to a last second cannon tune, a Episcopal overtime game, and then a one-on-one with Kincaid in the quarter with Jordan Manuel. Like, dude, that is so sad because, to be honest, if Cole Allen played on any other team in the entire, private school landscape, they're probably winning state at any capacity.
And as a kid that grew up through one school and could have went other places, you have to respect him for staying at St.
That's fair.
John's.
Yes, dude.
I think
That's fair.
in a world of the transfer portal, a kid staying true to his school and trying to bring them to a title game is more impressive to me than most things. Like,
Yes.
he was a touchdown away. A beautiful post corner away from making state with St. John's by himself.
Yes,
And
sir.
I just want to, I know I'm going to keep repeating this, but I think it's the message we need to know. That kid almost did it. And
Right.
you have to be so proud of him. I hope this whole St. John's community rallies around him and remembers this kid at your school for 4 years. You might not have another 4 years like you did of Cole Allen at Houston St. John's. He did everything he could. He did enough, and it just wasn't, but he did enough to try to get them there. We are so proud of you at TXPS Media. You were a phenomenal watch these past 4 years. I remember watching you as a freshman giving you your award. I remember Wes telling me at that first St. Thomas game week one and being like, holy cow, this kid's incredible. Week after week after week, we've watched this kid defy the odds and just do things that should not happen. And he does it every single time. So shout out to you, Cole Allen. That was a wonderful, wonderful career in high school football.
Absolutely. I will say that pretty confident that I complete an even better post corner than Jordan Manuel did. We
Man,
will
what are you? What are
shut
you? I
swear.
fuck you, man.
Shut
Oh
no.
my
This I'm actually
actually
God.
I'm actually not I'm actually
Boo.
not kidding about this.
Wait.
I'll pull this up. And don't even go looking for it. I'm gonna pull it up next episode. We'll put them side by side and I'll let the people judge. But
One thing I was gonna say, sorry, I didn't want to cut you off, Walker, on that, but I don't blame anyone that does go to places to win a chip and stuff and more exposure. Because there are a couple guys that did that. I mean, Gavin Parker's did that. Quinn Murphy's going to do that this year. They're both going to schools to go win state championships and stuff and to improve their college stock. Like, I don't hate that, right? I just want
No,
to say
yeah.
it's
Well, the
not a
thing is,
bad thing. It's not a bad thing, but it's respectable for Cole as well.
exactly. Call it the way that I look at it is college football right now is a business. And
That's
so
right.
even now to compete in high school, you've got to make business decisions if that's what you want to do. It's the
Right.
way that it is. It's not just recreational sport anymore, which I think kind of stinks, but
No,
this old man yells a cloud.
yeah, I agree. Like, I don't think it's a bad thing to transfer. I just think it's impressive to stay
You're right.
and do go through the grind. And he's going to Harvard. He's going D1. And there better be other schools that look at the tape and go, this can be better. But if it's Harvard, you're going to get an Ivy League education and you can go play big time ball at Harvard. Like, that's a good place to go play ball. And I could see him being a big time player at Harvard, man. That could be a guy who sets records at Harvard.
Yeah, he absolutely could. Yeah, I think he could. He's a fantastic player, and it stinks that this was his swan song, but no better way to go out than to literally put the game on your shoulders. Gentlemen, we said by cutting these episodes into 2 a week, they would be shorter and more efficient, and I think they're getting longer as the weeks go on, but we have a lot to talk about. As you can tell, we kind of enjoy sitting around and talking ball as we have done so for the last hour and 15 minutes, I think. We will be in your feeds this coming Thursday with the final week preview of the regular season before we get into the good stuff. As always, thank you, thank you, thank you for listening. Thank you for 10K on Twitter. It's nice to know that we don't just say this into a camera and nobody listens. We're incredibly appreciative of you. All that being said, as always, I've been one third of your hosting crew. Walker Lott and Ryan Schroeder have fantastically been themselves. We will see you on Thursday in the Week 11 preview. See you later.